Blog Talk Radio.
Congratulations to him, to Dick Patrick, to Brian McClellan, to Barry Trotz and the coaching staff. But most of all, these great players did an amazing job clinching each of the four series of the playoffs on the road. An amazing accomplishment. Capitals, you've had years of frustration, but here is the grandest celebration. You get to hoist the Stanley Cup. Alex Ovechkin, it's your honor. Come on up.
It's always interesting to see who's next, and it's Nicklas Backstrom who has gone through this just as long as Alexander Ovechkin has.
And just like that, everybody, welcome back to the Soul in Sports live right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Mike Knox, and welcome to the Hour of Power in Sports, people. Finally, the Washington Capitals, and I'm sorry, Washington, D.C. I love you. I love you, Washington, but I'm sorry. I got to say this from my heart. Finally, Ovechkin has avenged the losses to Sidney Crosby and got the monkey. And I ain't talking about Godzilla. I'm talking about a bigger monkey off his back to win Lord Stanley's Cup. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, as always, to the program live from the DMV. We know his black ass got ID because they just won a championship. And if he don't got ID, they're going to lock his black ass up. What's going on, Wally?
Cool, Mike, man. Exciting time, man. The city finally got a championship. It's been since like 91, 92, since the D.C. professional squad won a championship. So, yeah, it's exciting times. I'm getting ready for the parade on Tuesday. I'm trying to get lit.
And also, welcome. Also, welcome to the program. From the host state holding us down, Micah,
DC finally did it. How's it feel, brother? How you doing?
I don't watch hockey, so I mean I don't really I didn't have a dog in the fight. Here's who I'm happy for. I'm happy for people like Wally, who's an actual real Caps fan, and not those people in Baltimore who just wanted to ride the Caps jock all of a sudden like they actually cared about hockey.
I'm cheering for
people like Wally who are real Caps fans and not those Baltimore people who just, you know, we were Caps fans. No, you weren't. You just mad.
Baltimore can't get in this race because that would mean they would be part of the DMV. And Wally tells us all the time that they can't be part of the DMV. I also tweeted this out earlier this week, too, is that how all of a sudden so many Capital fans, and I'm sorry, friend of program, Wrestling Marks of Excellence on Corey, is front and center at all these Cap games. And Corey, I love you. And I would say this to your face or your ear if you were here listening. You are from the DMV area, and you are an Eagles fan. Now you're a Caps fan. You cheer for Ohio State. Brother, you are the antithesis. If I said that right, is that a word? Did I just make that up? Am I wrong? Whatever. You know what word I'm trying to say. You are the epitome of sports terrorism in this country. Okay? Because all of a sudden there, I've never said I've known Corey for about almost close to 9 years, and I've never seen him quote or cheer for any Washington Capitals. Not just him. All these Washington Capital wannabe fans. Like when the Cubs won, Wally, all of a sudden Cubs fans came out of nowhere. Wally, speak on this year, Stevie. How's the pulse going, man?
Look, man, I'm going to say this, though, man. If anybody wants to jump on a bandwagon, they can do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we take all comers. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is. You know, just show the team some love. You know, we got New York Ranger fans who now, like, showing us respect and showing us love. So, how I look at it is, you know, if you're from Baltimore, they don't have a hockey team, hey, jump on the bandwagon. You know what I mean? Like, we had that down here with some Redskins fans jumping on to Baltimore. So, it is what it is. So, I'm cool with it.
Really?
You know, I'm cool with it.
Oh,
I love it.
Wally,
I wish
I was on air back then, which I was, okay, just not here on Fox Sports Radio. But God darn, listen, I don't care what Wally say. I'm taking the power back. If you have not cheered for Alexander Ovechkin when they were losing in the first round, then shut up. You can't cheer today. If you were not cheering for the Washington Capitals before they got Alexander Ovechkin, you can't cheer today. I'm sorry, Lake. And you know who I'm talking to, Wally. Okay? All these Capital fans, I'm sorry. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. This is for people who've been there after they won. I'm not talking about him. I was saying, unless you're like him, I don't want to hear you cheering.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they've been down since day one with DC. That's his city.
Exactly.
He moves and he still reps that city. Like, you know what I mean? You're supposed to rep your city. Okay? It makes my skin crawl. It really does. I hate fake sports fans. And that's what I was going to say. I'm watching this game last night, and I actually sat back and said, holy beep, are they in Washington? Because they were in Vegas, and the entire crowd had on red.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They mobbed it, man. They mobbed it.
Wow.
You know, even outside the Verizon, like, you know, when they were doing the showing, like you were referring to Corey, like they were doing the showing. You had people inside, Capital One. I got to stop calling it Verizon, Capital One. And then outside, you saw, like, honestly, and this is no joke, I'm not joking, it seemed like it. There was more people outside of Capital One in the streets of D.C. than 45's inauguration.
You know what? Listen. If I died right now, we would have more people at my funeral than at 45's inauguration. Okay? So it don't matter about the celebrity. It's not hard to beat anything he had to do. But listen, guys, let's go ahead and get focused for the day. We're here for 1 hour, 1 hour early. We're going to be joined by no other than Mr. Ed Frankovich from WNST.net. He has been covering an insider for the Washington Capitals for well over a decade, okay, going into 20 years now. So no one knows this city. No one knows the team like Ed does. We're going to talk to him also on this hour of Power in Sports. Get your brooms out because I can't wait to see your so-called GOAT Remember, I said that yours. I mean, if that's your, then that's what I'm talking about. Your so not like you. We know your goat is Magic Johnson, okay? And you know what?
Yeah,
you know what your goat. You know what your goat would have never done. Like my goat would have never done. Our goat would have never let their goat switch and have him stick Kevin Durant and have like Kevin Love or J.R. Smith stick Kevin Durant when it matters most. Okay,
yeah.
That's what our goats would have never done. Okay, so your goat, we're going to make fun of him today, at least I will. Okay, also on the program, tomorrow is the fight that I thought we could all watch for free, but ESPN decided to go ahead and say, you know what, go ahead and get a 7-day subscription. If not, after that, it costs $5 a month, and you still can't even watch it on TV unless you have a what's some little things you get, a Chromecast or something, you can flip it to your TV. Okay, so
that's
a dumb thing. It's free for 7 days. Okay, when I thought the fight was last week, so I got it free, and it runs out this week. And, you know, I still would pay $5 because he's my fighter. But if he's not your fighter, this isn't a fight that's going to be a good fight. There's no way Horn survives. This is a fifth-round knockout, Wally.
And now ESPN? It's now on ESPN?
It's not on ESPN no more. It is now on ESPN
Plus. Oh,
Plus.
Oh, I didn't know it was on Plus. Oh,
and here's the worst part about Plus. I just went through all my channels. There is no channel for ESPN Plus on your So how the hell do you expect us to win the fight in our homes, ESPN?
Yeah, I ain't watching that thing. I ain't paying for that. It's not that much.
You get a free 7-day trial.
Not for that fight, though. If it was another fight, not for that fight. If I, you know, I don't pay for fights, but
pound for pound, you're not paying. It's free. It's free. Let's we talk about that
but
later.
If I had to, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Listen, Wally, what I say? If it wasn't my fighter, I wouldn't do it. Okay, so,
I understand. Exactly.
I gotta put Bud Crawford because that's my guy. You know, not like that's my goat.
Hold on, wait, Blind Tag. I got a question. You said I gotta do what to watch this fight?
You
what
gotta
do
get
I
a
watch this fight.
It's in plus, or
so
pay
what
the
plus?
Subscription with spot. ESPN, I believe the name.
Well,
don't I get a free
subscription with ESPN Plus because I have one of the major cable networks and I could just use I could just do my watch ESPN app.
If you have the watch,
so,
listen to me. If you have the watch ESPN app. It's an additional. Watch ESPN app add-on that now costs $5 a month.
So they realized how dumb it was to have free boxing with big names, and then they realized that they missed out on millions and billions of dollars. So now they're going to start charging, thinking that they're going
to
catch us now.
I don't like your thought process because, to me, it's not them missing out on big-time boxing. It's boxing missing out on the public. And to get boxing back into the eyes of the public, you got to have fights like this for free. So this fight was scheduled
on
ESPN. But this fight was scheduled to be on ESPN, and all of a sudden, the powers that be, probably Mickey Mouse, the boss, okay, decided to go ahead and say, hey, let's get another subscription. Everyone else got subscriptions. Why should we not have a subscription that you got to pay for separately along with your cable? So that's what they did. I mean, part of me can't be mad at it. It's only $5 a month, but it's not. First of all, I don't watch soccer. My name is not Hugo. Okay, I don't care about the World Cup because the United States is not involved. So, I'm saying this whole World Cup thing is driving me nuts. America's not in it, people. Why do we care? Okay, but what we do care about is that the Washington Capitals finally won Lord Stanley's Cup. And join us right now on the phone from the DMV, Mr. Ed Frankovich from WNST. Capitals Insider. What's going on, Ed? How you doing today, brother?
I'll tell you what, my friend. That is probably the best introduction I have ever gotten. You would blow Pat Sajak and what's his name, the guy out in Vegas that calls the fight away, man. I tell you, you got. I see why you're in radio. I am doing incredibly well. We're Stanley Cup champs. The D.C. Baltimore area is alive and rocking. Finally another championship. Baltimore had one with the Ravens, but D.C.'s been looking for one, and they got one now.
Well, Ed, you know what? We were talking about that beforehand, and I apologize. I've done way better introduction than that, so first of all, I thank you for that. I'm trying to move along here in time, but Ed, I'll tell you one thing that I'm excited to talk to you about when Wally Wild from Urban Sports Scene requested that we have you on, being the insider that you are to the Washington Capitals. I love to pick your brain in this. the pulse of the city and the pulse of that stadium. They took over Vegas yesterday. How did all that feel, and how did all that come across to you? Your insight on them taking over the stadium and finally Ovi getting the monkey off his back and finally putting himself up there with, you know, the likes of Sidney Crosby, who's going to be compared with his whole career, finally getting Laura Stanley's cup.
Well, I tell you what, it was amazing because a lot of people, as soon as the Capitals won game four, the prices for tickets in Vegas dropped, and it was actually cheaper to fly to Vegas and watch
wow.
game five than it would have been had the Caps lost game five to get a ticket here. So, you know, the economy, you know, the market drives what people do. Everybody wanted to see the Caps win, and there were 4,000 to 5,000 Capitals fans out there. That's a big rink, by the way. But Ovi, boy, you talk about emotion, letting it all hang out. And he's always been – I've known Ovi since he came here his first year. And he was much more unguarded before he was a superstar, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he always had this flamboyant personality. He would come up, smile, talk to you. First time I met him, he actually came up and talked to me. I wasn't in the media then. I was hanging with a guy I used to work for the team with. And you could just see the beatdown he's taken over the years has made him more guarded, like it would anybody in the limelight
mm-hmm.
like that. But you could see on Thursday night, he just let it all hang out. When he got that cup, and I thought he was going to pick Bettman up with the cup and shake him. He was so fired up. And just the way the closeness of this team, and he knew it. And you could see he knew all along that this was their year. And he was their leader, and they got contributions all up and down the lineup. I'm sure you want to talk about all those guys. But I tell you what, I couldn't be happier for that guy because he is – every year when they've lost, he's taken the beatings. He's been the reason they haven't won. I mean, LeBron James went through this, right? Michael Jordan went through this. Ovi
mm-hmm.
just took longer. And I compare it to Steve Yzerman from the Detroit Red Wings. They tried several times before they won. And I think Yzerman got his first cup about the same age as Ovi did.
Well, see, the thing that was alarming to me and why I used him first and on all the good guys is there, Nordstrom and all those guys that, you know, needed this win is how he's constantly compared, like you just mentioned, Jordan and those guys, to one Sidney Crosby and being in that class on, you know, who was actually better. And the one thing they would always say is, well, Crosby's better because he's won the cup several times. You know, but and looking at this team, going back to the first round of the playoffs, they're down 2-0 against Columbus early in this. This has to be huge for not just the city to finally think they can do it. Because you remember how things happened with the the Wizards, and how every other team in Washington lose, and social media quickly go ahead and another losing season in Washington. How big was this, if you could put it in words, for Ovi and this team to get that monkey off their backs and the city's backs?
It's monumental. I don't think there's anything bigger. I mean, this is the culmination of the vision Ted Leonsis had when he told George McVie, get rid of Jaromir Jagr. We're going to tear this team down in 2003, 2004. We're going to be terrible. We're going to try and get a top pick. Of course, we had the lockout in there, and Ted needed a more even playing field with revenue, if you will, because I worked for the team back from 86 to 97. And Abe Pollin, he was a good owner, but he loved basketball more than hockey. And hockey didn't generate a lot of revenue, so he had chances to get good players. I mean, he had a chance to get Timu Solani at one point, but he didn't want to spend the money. He let Scott Stevens walk because he didn't want to spend the money, and Scott Stevens won three Stanley Cups. So Ted Leonsis had a plan. It just took a while. And it took moving George McVie out, and George McVie did a lot of good things as general manager. But then Brian McClellan comes in, Barry Trotz, who I knew from his Baltimore Skip Jackson Washington Capitals scouting days and coaching days, and he went off with David Poile to Nashville after the firing in 97. And I knew he was a good hockey guy, and they got this organization back on the right track. They brought in a Brooks Orpik, a Matt Niskanen. They they sat down with Ovi and said, hey, look, this is what we're going to have to do to win. And he bought in, and it took a few years. But for Backstrom and Ovechkin, all the pressure they've had on them, all the beatings they've taken after 11 straight postseasons not making it, not winning the cup, this is just amazing for them. And I don't know if you guys know or not, but the plane touched down about 45 minutes ago at Dulles Airport. And you'll see the clips of this. Ovechkin and Backstrom walk down the steps of the plane holding the cup together in the air.
So, hey, Ed, this is Wally.
Yeah, Wally.
How you doing? So I wanted to jump back on Backstrom because we all talk about Ovechkin, and obviously he deserves it. Ovechkin is one of the best players ever as a hockey player. But you talk about Backstrom. You know, he's the guy who's always like the Robin. No one talks about him as much. him getting this championship, him this championship, saying, okay, now Baxter could probably be talked as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's very true, Wally. I mean, Nicholas Backstrom, I mean, this is a center-dominated league. The NHL, and you talk about the Crosby versus Ovechkin debates and who's better. And if you talk to anybody in the business, they'll tell you, look, center is the position you want, more of a wing. You're not going to build a franchise around a wing. You're going to build it around a center. Well, the Capitals had the wing in Ovechkin, and they had to pick Ovechkin. Everybody knew how great he was. He just wasn't the center. But they got Nicholas Backstrom the next year, and for years and years and years, they couldn't get that other center to go with him. And they drafted Evgeny Kuznetsov with the 26th pick in 2010, and they were lucky because he dropped because everybody knew he was going to stay in Russia for a while. So the Capitals kind of had to wait for him to come over. But Backstrom's the guy who was the first-line center, and then when Kuznetsov emerged, Barry Trotz knew that if they were going to beat some of these teams, if they were going to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, they were going to have to go up against Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin up the middle. And they never really had that 1-2 center punch. They got Kuznetsov, and they got closer and closer. And then finally, Kuznetsov's got to the point where he's become almost a superstar as well. And Backstrom's gotten a little older, and Nicky is such a good two-way player that he doesn't get a lot of credit. He's a guy who can play offense and defense. And, you know, the guy who plays defense is not going to be the flashy guy getting all the points. Now, Nicky gets his points, but he's the guy that was shutting down the other team's top lines all along. He's the guy who shut down Crosby in the Penguins series. He's the guy who shut down William Karlsson in the Stanley Cup final. And he went up against Stamkos and Kucherov against Tampa and neutralized them. So Nicholas Backstrom is a guy who's just been under the radar. All the pressure's been pretty much on Ovechkin. But they don't win without him. I mean, they were fortunate to win those four games when he had that broken hand. But if they were going to come back and they were going to win a Stanley Cup, they needed to have a healthy Nicholas Backstrom. He wasn't 100%, but boy, he does a lot of things you just don't notice out there.
So, can you talk about, you know, it's all about, you know, we always talk about the stars like Kuzi, Ovechkin, Backstrom. Can you talk about players like Eller, Varana, Smith Pelé? These guys, for years, the Caps didn't have guys like this do the grunt work and still be effective in the postseason. But this season, they were. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely, Wally, because you know, when they lost to the Penguins in 2016, they had a really good team, but they got no production from their third and fourth lines against the Penguins. Meanwhile, the Penguins had a Nick Bonino and a Matt Cullen that were just torching the Capitals. That's where the Capitals lost those series in 2016 and 2017 from the bottom six forwards. They bring in a Lars Eller. Eller was this is his second year with the team, and then they pick up a Smith Pelly. And I remember asking Brian McClellan about Smith Pelly when he signed him to a tryout deal on July 3rd, because I had seen Smith Pelly play for Anaheim 4 years ago against the Dallas Stars, and he was fast, and he was playing really well, and he was a guy I noticed out there. He went to the net. He scored some big playoff goals, kind of like Joel Ward did with Nashville before the Capitals brought him in here. And I really liked Smith Pelly, and he had some injury problems, some conditioning issues as a result of the injuries. And that guy really worked his tail off to get in the lineup because he didn't have a spot on this team guaranteed coming into training camp. And he worked hard. And Brett Connolly's another guy that got off the scrap heap. And Smith Pelly had 7 goals. Eller had 7 goals. Brett Connolly, 6 goals throughout the playoffs. Here's a guy that was drafted 6th in the league, let go by Tampa, went traded to Boston, flamed out, unrestricted free agent, and the Capitals pick him up on a flyer for $850K last year. He scores 15 goals, so McClellan signs him for 2 more. And here's a guy who scratched in the playoffs in 2017, totally different player this year. Varana, a first-round pick. Burakovsky, first-round pick. These guys had to learn how to play a more of a grinding physical game. Smith Pelly and Eller already knew how to play that type of game. But Connolly, Varana, Burakovsky, they had to transform themselves and really learn, instead of being these top six guys like they were in juniors and when they were the stars, and have to become these supporting players. And they've done it, and they've scored. So you're absolutely right. That's a big reason why the Capitals won, because they got goals up and down this lineup. Everybody that came into the lineup, whether it was injury, because of suspension for Tom Wilson, they contributed, and that's why they're holding the cup.
Hey, 347-637-3359.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Hey, this is Micah. Wanted to ask you a quick question. Just as a thing that I think about, because I like to read my comics. Is T.J. Oshie the new Captain America? It just seems like everywhere he goes, everywhere he's been, his presence has helped both the U.S. men's Olympic team and, of course, Washington Capitals just go through people and go through championships. Like, what is T.J. Oshie's story? How does him being a part of this team really, really helped out the Caps in their win?
Well, Oshie's a unique guy. He's a very supportive and personable guy. Gets along with anybody. But the key to Oshie, and one of the reasons I was one of the guys really championing his cause last year when he came up unrestricted free agent, everybody was worried he was going to need too much money. Nobody wanted to pay him big money here to stay. But McClellan talked to all the players. I kind of already knew this, that he was a key piece. They were not going to win a Stanley Cup without T.J. Oshie because the way he plays, he dogs pucks. He's kind of like he's like Dennis Rodman was in basketball. You need a guy that's going to go up there and get the rebounds. Well, in hockey, you need a guy that's going to go battle and get the puck in front of the net or win a board battle and get the puck. And you watch, like, the goal Carlson scores, the fourth goal in game four on the power play. Oshie takes the puck from the guy right in front of the net, feeds it to Kuznetsov, and everybody remembers Carlson from Kuznetsov. But it's the guys like Oshie that make those plays to steal the puck. And he is such a hustling guy. All the teammates love him because no matter who he plays with, he makes better. He's one of those type of guys that you put him with you, and you're going to be a better player. And he was integral to this team. That's why Brian McClellan, you know, gave him the 8-year contract. They didn't want to have him around for 8 years, but the only way they were going to win a cup was to keep him because they just didn't have any other really big right wings in the organization that did what he did. So he is another guy that you don't win a cup if you don't re-sign him.
You know what? I'm excited right now for the city. I'm proud of the city. I've covered them now the last, 2 years, and I constantly bash the city a little bit being an Eagles fan and being a Cubs fan. But I'm happy to see the city get a championship. And I look at this team, and it reminded me of the first time the Blackhawks went and got that lower Stanley's Cup. And this team could be a future team, a dynasty team, a team that can compete for next year. So let me ask you this. Do you think, A, they can compete next year and be back? They've been here the last 4 years. They just now finally got over the hump, last 5 years, actually, and they're just now getting over the hump. Do you think that they're the favorite team to win next year? And the biggest question people out there want to know right now is, when's the parade, Ed?
So the parade is Tuesday at 11. I think it starts at 17th Street and goes to the mall at 7th Street, Constitution and 17th. Does that sound right? It goes to the National Mall, and then they're going to have a big celebration there on the mall. So I'm sure it'll be a total mob scene. So either get down there or watch on TV. If you get down there, get down there early. But the biggest thing is, yeah, they have some decisions to make. They have a lot of guys locked up for next year. But the biggest decisions they have to make is John Carlson, defenseman, stud. He was nicknamed Captain America, but both Oshie and Carlson are Americans who've had big success internationally. Carlson scored the game-winning goal in 2010 for the World Junior team to give USA gold, beat Canada in overtime. So he's the number one defenseman. There's talk he's going to get close to $8 million on the open market. The Capitals are going to have to figure out how to pay him. But they're fortunate in that the salary cap is going up. So I really don't think they want to let him go. But there's talk John could end up in New Jersey. So I think that's the number one issue. Number two is Barry Trotz. He doesn't have a contract, but I think Trotz, he's going to stay. I think they're going to work that all out now. And then you got Tom Wilson's a restricted free agent. Jay Beagle's an unrestricted free agent. Smith Pelly, obviously, unrestricted free agent. These guys, those are the guys that they have to sign. They don't have any, like, huge names other than Carlson. So they're really counting on that salary cap to go up to 80 or 82 million. 82 million would really be nice, and I think they could bring everybody back. And I think they're going to try and bring everybody back because this is a special group. They get along well. They have a mix of veterans and young guys. There's guys that still have a lot of room to improve, like your Veranas, your Burakovskis. Tom Wilson keeps getting better. Christian Jus on the back end. Kuznetsov still getting better, and he turned into a superstar this playoff. So a lot to look forward to. I think McClellan's going to do everything he can to try and get the band back together and try to do it again. But Pittsburgh's going to be there. Tampa's going to have a good team. The league is very balanced because of the salary cap and the expansion last year in Vegas. Vegas got a good player from every team, and they really put a heck of a team together and almost with fairy tale story. But the Capitals were just high-end skill and a better team and deservedly won the Stanley Cup.
Well, as I always say, there is no playoffs like the NHL playoff. I've said this for years. It's my favorite time of the year to watch the NHL playoffs. I think because of how the goalies get peppered with shots and then every single shot can be the game winner, I find it more exciting than any form of playoffs on television. Well, Ed, thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully we can get you back on in the future to talk more Capitals and more NHL, hopefully coming up the next season. We thank you so much. Ed, everybody go out there, WNST.net. He is an insider there. He has statisticians, you name it. He's NHL, more than us. I'm just a black guy who likes hockey. So with that being said, y'all go follow Ed Frankovich on Twitter. How it sounds is his name, people. Ed, E-D-F-R-A-N-K-O-V-I-C. Ed, thank you so much for coming on, my friend.
Hey, I will always do any show Wally's associated with, and now you guys as well. Thank you for having me on. Hit me up anytime. I'll come on anytime and talk with you guys. And I can even talk old bullet stories, man, because I was there when I was 13 years old when they won the championship 40 years ago. So I go back big time on all the sports around here. And good to hear you guys love hockey, and let's celebrate on Tuesday.
And we shall do that, man. Thank you so much. Look at that, Wally O'Hare bringing up, being a hop snobber, bringing on Hall of Famers like that. Go ahead, Wally, with your bad self. There, y'all. Go check out Ed Frankovich. Good thing talking to him. NHL, happy for the city. Welcome in no other than my brother from another mother. Come on, man. What's going on, Jay Chris? I guess Jay Chris left. He was just here a second ago. Like, literally, he was just here a second ago, y'all. 347-637-3859. What happened to Jay Chris? Well, listen, guys, let's talk about it. It's coming on tonight.
Trump got him.
Game four. What's going on, y'all? Will LeBron be swept? Can I just sit here and say that, like my wife out the shower, I am foaming at the mouth to make fun of your GOAT, LeBron James, when he fails tonight to get swept by the Golden State Warriors. And let me just also say this, and you can say what you want to say, and I'm quite sure you will. This is not the greatest basketball team we've ever seen. I'm sorry. And in the words of Charles Barkley, LeBron, you started all this super team. It was an executive in there. So you're getting what you deserve. Guys, will the Golden State Warriors finish the job and make me happy tonight? Wally, your thoughts.
Man, I don't think they should. They should sweep them. Like, I really believe they should sweep them. I think it's because I don't think Steph Curry shoots like he did last game. I think he's going to shoot much better. I think Kevin Durant won't be as hot as he was last game, but I think he will still be efficient. And then Klay won't be as bad. So, you know what? They should happen. But I never doubt LeBron James in terms of winning the game. So
you can't doubt
LeBron. Out of pride, I think the Cleveland wins this game. Out of pride.
Let me ask you this, Jay Chris, as Jay Chris joins the program back. Brian Windhorst, who notably hates LeBron James, made an article today that came out that said LeBron is not that he's not great. He's just not a great competitor. By always trying to play with winning teams and having to go with another franchise if they can't win, that he cannot stay with a team where he has to be, where he has to build them by himself. Would you agree with that, Jay Chris? And two, does he get swept tonight? Because I actually agree with that. I'm not saying he's not a competitor, but I do think that LeBron won't play the team that can't win right now, and I think that's a sucker move. That's my thoughts. Jay Chris, yours.
Well, I don't think he'll play with a team that can't win right now either. I mean, if I was in his position, I wouldn't either. I mean, he's on the other side of his career now. He's not a young
we've become that now as men, where if you can't beat them, join them. Now that's what we're supposed to accept.
I know what you want to do. I know what you want to do is blast LeBron James.
I'm not
blasting
him. LeBron James is the second greatest player of all time.
You want to. Went to bash LeBron, and no, he's not the second greatest player of all time. Michael Jordan is, but anyway,
the greatest player of all time. Are you saying LeBron's better than Michael Jordan? Are you
no,
saying,
I'm
that?
Saying
are
Will Chamberlain's that? Better than both of them? I'm saying no, Will Chamberlain ain't on both of them.
Chamberlain ain't even in the top seven.
No, he's in the top five. He's in the top three. He's in the top two.
He played with Mike. Undertaker tight. How's that being
is,
great?
Is that his fault?
He would have been barely 6 feet tall.
He dominated the era.
However, because he didn't play in
so don't hold it against him.
It does go against him. But it does go against him, Wally. He didn't play against
the
competition.
Was Michael Jordan not the biggest two guard in his era? Yes, he was.
I think he was the biggest two guard in his era,
just like LeBron is the biggest 2-3 in his era.
Two guard. I disagree, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Actually, one question.
Shaq was the biggest center in his era. I mean, it is what it is. The big guys beat up little guys. That's what it is, right?
That's how it is. We beat up little people. But isn't that coach that came and wrecked our team said that? We got to use a different quote. Go ahead. Answer the question.
So to go back to what we're saying, you know, at this stage in his career, you know, why would you want to go to a team that's rebuilding? That's kind of wasting the twilight of your career. And I'm not saying that LeBron's probably playing some of the best basketball we've ever seen in his career. But, you know, as time is undefeated. So for him to go to a team, let's say he went to Phoenix, a team that's rebuilding, that does not benefit him at all. It just doesn't. Why would you do that? So in his situation, yeah, I would definitely go to a team that is built to win right now, or go to a team that is looking to win right now, that puts the pieces together. Say Paul George signs with L.A. Let's say KD signs with L.A. And let's say LeBron says, oh, that's pretty attractive. I'm gonna go ahead and sign with L.A. too. You know, something like that. I'm just putting that out there. I'm not saying I heard anything, but I might have. But anyway. You know, as opposed to when he did it earlier in his career, when he was with Miami, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that right there, my friend, was not really the thing to do. Like when KD went to Golden State, when LeBron, you know, when they formed that super team in Miami, that wasn't the time to do it. That's why he gets the hate that he gets now.
Exactly.
Because of that move. That's why KD will get the hate that he gets now because of that move. You know, nobody hates Karl Malone for going after that championship in L.A., even though they didn't get it. Nobody hates Karl Malone for that. Nobody holds that against him. No, he was.
You know why nobody holds Karl Malone against that? Because Karl Malone was never called the greatest player on the earth. That's
why. But he was called the greatest power forward. He was one of the greats at the time. He was a definite Hall of Fame.
I definitely think he's a top three power forward of all time. I will give you that, Karl Malone. But I will also say this when it comes to Karl Malone. He was old, and he was not at the peak of his career when he went to L.A. LeBron still, for what it's worth, again,
LeBron was
the
at the peak when he went to Miami.
I think he's personally at his peak now. I think he's playing better ball than we've ever seen LeBron James play. That's just me. Real fast, let's come back to that real fast. Let me ask you this, Micah. Does LeBron get swept tonight?
Man. Let me find my broom. I remember saying that they were going to win this series.
You did say that, but don't go against what you said earlier. Don't say they're going to sweep 9 out of 3-0.
No, I said they were going to sweep.
I didn't think there was going to be a gentleman's sweep.
Gentlemen sweep.
Don't go against that now.
No.
Y'all already know how I get down. I don't change my take. When I said Houston was going to win in five, I stuck with my guns. And when Houston went to seven, I still stuck that Houston was going to win. So LeBron James is still going to get swept. And I'm going to be wrong that it was five games. Because tonight, I think Golden State is going to do the one thing. I know I'm going to be wrong. Because I don't think Golden State like winning on their own
floor.
You get your own state. Clean out your ears. I'm not going against my original take. I am telling you that my original take is incorrect. And I have to agree that they're going to get swept. However, my original take was five games. My original take was five games. And my original take has not changed. I believe in five games.
He just said he's wrong. I said I'm wrong.
Thank you. That's it.
That's a
saying
nice
that you're
phrase.
Wrong is
that,
not
that
going against your original
best,
take.
That is
that's
the
being
greatest.
A man and admitting that you're wrong.
If you say they're going to get swept tonight, you're saying you're going against your original take.
It's definitely a backtrack.
No, I am saying that my original take is wrong.
Me, I'm not Stephen A. Smith. I don't change my mind on the dime to fit my narrative for ratings. I know
don't
exactly
go against,
what I said.
Don't you do that, Michael
don't
Lee.
You
don't
do
you
it.
Do
don't
that.
You, this is blasphemous. You
I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was possible for LeBron to get swept. And I like Wally's thinking, saying I can't bet against that happening. And I just want it to happen. I don't think they get swept tonight. I just don't. I think LeBron
wins
this game.
I think it's a good thing if he gets swept.
You know, you know, only thing good about it is if he gets swept, watching the jersey come off and hearing the people talk about things like him going to Golden State next year. If LeBron, I'm like everybody, you all heard the narrative. If LeBron James goes to Golden State, I will never watch the NBA again. Point blank, period, end of question. I will not watch the NBA. It'll be a waste of time. It'll be a complete waste of time. And this is the problem with what LeBron then did with. They would, like they did, like they blocked Chris Paul from going to the Lakers. They would definitely block
him. He might go now. He might be going to the Lakers now. I'm not saying I heard something, but I'm not saying that.
Chris Paul?
I actually heard it's a done deal that he's going to the Lakers. Also, that was reported by Black Sports Online 2 days ago. LeBron's going to the Lakers. I heard that 2 days ago. It was a done deal.
I think he's going to the Lakers. I've been saying that. I think he's going to the Lakers. I think Paul George, I mean, I think it's all in the sticks. Paul George is going to L.A. I mean, Paul George
listen,
has
Paul
been
George,
shy about it.
Paul, with that Lakers team we saw last year, okay, with Paul George and LeBron James, they have no chance to beat Houston or Golden State. Constructed the way
Paul
they are. I won't say
Paul
no,
George,
because they,
Paul
because they
and
got
Chris
LeBron.
And LeBron
because they
LA.
Got LeBron. Well, I don't think Chris Paul's leaving Houston.
Now
I'm not saying
LeBron.
I heard something,
Magic,
but I'm not saying I didn't.
Magic loves Lonzo. Too much for like to play
he
with.
Don't love
exactly. With his arm.
He don't
he
love
actually,
more.
He
don't
like,
love
he
more.
Actually,
than he
actually
love
thinks Lonzo is the future of that franchise.
He
does
Lonzo.
Believe.
He really like
a
he's
lot.
He's got to say
he
that.
Like, I don't.
He's got to say that. That's his draft pick. He's got to say that.
I'm telling you, I'm thinking like I think he's cool with Lonzo as a point guard. He's not going to go.
I
over
think
him.
I think Magic is smart enough to let Lonzo go if he has the chance to pick up Paul George, Chris Paul, and that brings LeBron in. He's smart enough to let Lonzo go. He's smart enough to do it.
Lonzo will be fine. I think if he can get.
He may not have been smart enough to know that Denver Fredette wasn't an NBA player, but he's smart enough to let Lonzo go if that means Chris Paul, LeBron,
well,
and Paul George.
Up Jimmer Fredette hate. That's not even fair to bring up Jimmer Fredette hate.
I don't
that's
hate,
no
I'm
reason
just
for that.
That's not hate. That's not hate.
You,
I'm just talking about
you,
a mistake.
I'm telling you, if he brings in Boogie Cousins, I don't think you got to worry about LeBron being mad about Paul. Put that way. Just put it that way. If he brings in Paul George and Boogie, he won't be worried about Chris Paul.
You got to get rid of Lonzo Ball to bring LeBron to L.A.
No, right,
so you never asked that question. Does LeBron get swept tonight?
Because LeBron Ball.
Watch and answer the question. Watch that you get swept tonight.
You talking to me?
Does he get, we can table where he goes after tonight's game or Sunday's game.
Right.
By the time
he does
we're
not
back
get
on
swept
air
tonight.
Again,
he
not
does
get
not
swept
get swept tonight.
Okay.
No, because I can't go against my original take of Cleveland's going to win the series. So, he doesn't get swept
stop.
Tonight.
Stop. You, hold
he
on.
Did
stop.
Pick Cleveland
hold.
Win the
I
series.
Missed that. You picked Cleveland to win the
he
series.
Did.
You should have your
he
head.
Did. I remember
it.
The show. He did.
Have your head.
And it got ruined. It got ruined with game one. It got ruined with game one.
Oh,
man, I wish I bet some food on that. I could have had
it.
Free food.
I said a sweep or four or five. I did say a sweep or five. I know I said it was going to be a sweep or five. I can't tell
see,
you
we didn't do a show right before the finals, so that helped me not make the mistake of saying Cleveland was going to sweep Golden State, because I wasn't going to say that. I was going to go out on that limb, and then game one ruined it all.
Somebody take him on top of a sky rise and see if he can skydive, okay? Because he's tripping. Okay? He thought that was going to happen. Wow. All right. Micah has to go teach somebody how to play the tuba, shorty. So, Micah, go enjoy your day. Table that CM Punk discussion for Monday about him winning his lawsuit against the WWE and other things to come. But I will table the discussion about LeBron to L.A. until Monday, because I think this year's will definitely be over, if not tonight. Damn, they don't play tonight. They play, what, Monday, right?
No, they play tonight.
Right, but if they win
they
tonight.
Win.
If they
if they
win
tonight.
Win, the next game is
Monday,
Monday, right?
Monday.
I believe.
I would think Sunday.
No. Yeah, because Monday and the rest day, yeah.
I can't see the NBA going. I'm looking for it now. since King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter hasn't gotten it up for us yet. This right here, it would be Monday. Yep, today and Monday. So that while the NBA goes a whole weekend without a game. So now that there's no game on Sunday, the NBA has nothing to lose. They will not cheat for LeBron James tonight to win the game. So they get swept with no game being until Monday. The NBA is ready to move into the offseason because they're going to be talked about heavily. Thanks, King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter for that tweet. I want to see LeBron get swept as I snap my fingers like Thanos. So I appreciate it. My wife, who says LeBron James is a bitch, personally, she can't wait to see him get swept. I said that live on air because if Martin said bitch on Fox back in 1990, I can say it right here, right now. So, with
different
that being
time.
Said,
can I say something? Can I say something that I heard that was very funny?
Go ahead.
Can I say? Yo, I heard somebody say. They said, "Your mom's so fat." Thanos had to snap his fingers twice. I was on the floor. I was on the floor. When I heard that,
Your mom was so fat. Thanos had to snap his fingers twice. That's funny. That is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, shoot.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay. You need to stop. Wow. I have no mercy. No mercy at all.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to say it to somebody, man. I'm going to say it to somebody. I'm
going to
jump
to somebody. Like,
I'm going to make fun of somebody.
By the time
I'm about to fry
the night's over, I'm going to say it to somebody. Like, via Twitter, Xbox, somebody. I'm going to say something to somebody. It's raining. Maybe tomorrow at work, I'm going to say it.
Can we talk about Colangelo at all?
No, go right ahead as I was about to get into boxing to close the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, no, we can talk about Colangelo next week.
No, but help me understand.
With the
help me understand because I've been in the middle of the move, so I've been kind of I'm a little lost on the Brian Colangelo story fully about the burner Twitter account. So basically, from what I gather, he was sending out tweets about players and teams and health and things along those lines.
Here's what it is. Okay, when the story originally came out from the Ringer, they figured out that there were five Twitter accounts associated with Brian Colangelo. I almost said Peter Angelos. Well, Brian Colangelo. When they contacted the Sixers about these accounts, they only mentioned two accounts. Okay, and one account is one that Colangelo admitted to operating. The other account he did not have knowledge of. And then surprisingly, the three accounts that were not mentioned all of a sudden went private as soon as this call was done. Okay. So that sparked a lot of interest about what was going on. Long story short, the other accounts were tweeting stuff like, the Sixers had Jahlil Okafor and they were trying to get rid of Jahlil, or they were trying to trade Jahlil Okafor. And there were some situations where, they had some trades on the table, but they had to pull them off the table for whatever the case may be. And these accounts followed and were followed by a lot of the news writers here in the Philadelphia area, from Sportsnet to the newspaper to the radio. Sports writers had, they had access to this account. So they would tweet out, well, ask him, because everybody was mad about, well, why didn't we trade Okafor yet? How come, why didn't that trade get made? So all of a sudden this account says, well, why don't you ask him about not passing the team physical so the trade could go through? Or they would tweet stuff like, Markel Fultz needs to man up and get out there and play basketball. Or, certain things, they would say things, derogatory things about the previous general manager, Sam Hinkie, who started the process, because here in Philadelphia, there's like a culture here of Hinkieites that just love Sam Hinkie, who started the quote unquote process. Okay. So, these sparked a lot of interest. These got the antennas going. The investigation found out that, his wife, Colangelo's wife, admitted to operating the other three accounts or to operating the other accounts that was putting all this insider information out there. So, and the Sixers could not prove that Colangelo himself had any knowledge of these accounts, and he never, owned up to having knowledge of the accounts. So, you know, they made the mutual agreement to part ways. Colangelo put in his resignation yesterday. The Sixers accepted the resignation. And right now, Brett Brown, the coach of the Sixers, is the interim general manager and president of basketball operations until they find someone to replace, which I don't know if that's going to happen before free agency or the draft. But, you know, that's basically what it is in a nutshell right there. That's the whole story. You should have had
the
Young and the
smartest thing about the whole
thing going through all that.
I should have. The smartest thing about the whole thing is the fact that he put it all on his wife and that she can take the blunt of it by saying he had no acknowledgement of this and putting it on her because she's not working for anybody. So he can come back later and get another job somewhere. I mean, this family, they're billionaires, the Colangelo family. So I'm quite sure he would get a job in the NBA again.
Probably, right? But this is going to hang over his head for a while, right? No matter where he goes, that story is going to be associated with him, okay? I'm interested in seeing, and this might be the TMZ in me because I don't have too much TMZ in me, but I'm interested in seeing how this marriage works. If this went down the way they're claiming it went down or if she's just taking the bullet for him, I'm interested in seeing how this marriage works out from here on out, because if it went down the way he says it went down, she basically went and lost him his job.
Well,
and
I don't believe that.
May
for
not
one
be
thing.
Hired
he
by
blames,
the team for a while.
He blames the wife because that's what we do as married people.
Well,
when you're caught, you can put something on your spouse. You can put something on your spouse when your spouse and you are in agreement. I mean, I take the bullet from my wife all the time. She takes the bullet from me all the time. You know, oh, you blame it on me. I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You're absolutely right. But see, here's the thing. The investigation found that it was, you know, the thing, this stuff came from the wife's phone. So it was more so, you know, he said, I mean, of course, she's definitely taking a bullet for this. But, and I have a hard time believing he didn't know anything about it. And not because that's his wife, because my wife could easily make an account up on Twitter right now and say, you know, put all the business out there about, you know, some of the jobs or whatever I might tell her, you know, in the privacy of our own home. And I would never know about it.
Kevin Durant did it. No one got mad at him. Oh, my bad. They did. You cannot have burner Twitter accounts. You just can't do that.
I don't have a burner Twitter account because nobody cares about what I tweet anyway. I actually tweeted that.
I concur. Your tweets are very uneventfully not entertaining. They're just...
Yeah,
it's like watching exactly. Steve Harvey on Family.
Unless I talk about Donald Trump.
You know what? I don't even say his name, so that's funny in itself. Can we snap our? Can we get Thanos to snap his fingers at the celebrity in chief? Can we do that? That's what we really
careful.
Need.
Careful, careful, what
careful.
You say,
what? They're gonna boycott me.
All I'm saying is you can
fire
get a phone
me.
Call. That's
I
want to
get fired. Fire me.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying you can get a phone call. It does happen. It does happen when you say certain things.
I always feel like someone's watching me. And now tomorrow night on the channel that no one can watch, the best pound-for-pound fighter, not named Floyd Mayweather, that's actively fighting, not Triple G who's getting stripped of his titles, but Bud... Terrence, that is, Bud Crawford, fights the undefeated Joe Horn, who beat Manny Pacquiao a year ago on my birthday by what? I have no idea. I watched that fight.
What a joke.
And I said, watching that fight, that I thought it was close. If it was a split decision, I'd have understood it because I thought that Manny took off many rounds in that fight. I felt that, honestly, not coming from Manny hate, just watching the fight. I thought Manny won the fight, but I did think it was closer than fans that in attendance and social media thought it was. So when he won the fight, people actually fell out their chairs and spit out their juices and proverbially probably wet themselves. But Manny Pacquiao, and this is, guys, this is boxing. Okay, let me get this on something boxing. First of all, let me stop just saying boxing. Sports in general are corrupt. Okay, Manny Pacquiao's on the way out. Here's a title that Manny Pacquiao has. in my opinion, not a sports opinion, but my opinion, Manny Pacquiao was scared to fight Terrence Crawford. Should have been the Terrence Crawford fight, in my opinion, because that had been a pay-per-view caliber fight, because it's Manny Pacquiao. I mean, hell, Manny Pacquiao knocked out a lot of people before and after the steroids, okay? So, instead, you give it to Joe Horn, the UK audience gets to come in, right? They got a big following now in boxing, and now he gets to fight the new face of Bob Arum Promotion, okay, which is Terrence Butt Crawford, and now you have yourself a new champion moving forward under the same umbrella. Now they have to fight Wally's friend Earl Spence because they're in the same – I think isn't Earl Spence represented by Bob Arum as well, Wally?
I'm not sure. I think so. He should be. I think he is.
Yeah, because he was on the last – yeah. Yeah, so this can probably be a future fight between them two for a title. So I think all this was orchestrated because I don't think no one, including Joy Horn's mother, thinks that he can beat Terrence Crawford tomorrow. But the funny part is, Jay Chris, where can you find the fight? ESPN decided to put it on ESPN Plus, and ESPN Plus is not on any home television. What's up with that?
Neither one of those fighters are that caliber where you're going to go out to. I mean, Bud is that caliber, but this fight is not that caliber for you to go out and get a station.
Literally on the sandwich wiki button until you fix that statement. I swear to God, it was.
It's true. Like you have Bud needs to have for here. Okay, let me say what I'm saying. Bud has to have a true opponent. You know, I don't see Joe Horn as a true opponent for him.
I agree.
For someone to have to go out and do something special to watch him fight.
And then
okay, we've seen him take out
why
everybody.
Then why take it off of ESPN and put it on ESPN Plus?
That's not a smart move. Maybe they feel that Crawford can carry that along with this with the fact that Joe Horn is the guy that beat Manny Pacquiao. If Joe Horn was an American that beat Manny Pacquiao, maybe.
That would make
but he's
difference.
An Australian.
But it's not right.
You know,
Australia,
he's an Australian that really beat Manny Pacquiao in Australia.
And if Joe Horn really beat Manny Pacquiao, it'd be a draw. If he really beat Manny Pacquiao, it'd be a draw.
Right.
I thought that as well. I said, you know what? If it's a draw, I still didn't see a draw again. And you know how I call fights. And we both watched boxing over Twitter together and had our cards. And they've been, you know, differently. But, you know, we both had the same fighters winning. I definitely had Manny winning that fight. Just, you know, so even if a draw, maybe I could have saw it.
No.
Maybe.
No,
I'm not even a strong maybe. Like Manny Pacquiao won that fight, okay? Close, you know, but he won the fight. You know, I'm sorry, like, split decision maybe, and that's from three different judges. But from my judging, he won the fight. I believe I had it 113-110. I believe. I think he had him like three. I think Manny just won the fight, but I do think Manny was not the Manny that we were used to seeing. And that's why this – and I think Jay Chris just spoke on it better than I could, and that's this fight happened in Australia. If this fight would have happened in America, there's no way Joe Horn won that fight. It just wouldn't have happened
And I think Bob Arum played a part in that too. I think it's – I mean, when you talk about May, I don't think May's scared of nobody. I think if you look at his resume, he's never been scared of anybody. But I just think that Bob Arum, like you said, Manny ain't the same Manny. I think we all know this. We all know that. And then you got to kind of gear to the next young
– Nick can't hit somebody, I will be scared too. That's all I'm saying.
No, he's not scared. But doesn't the beer. Manny's not scared. Bob Arum's a money dude. Bob Arum's not. It's about making new. It's all about making new boxers and making new boxers in terms of being new cash cows. He tried to do it. I can tell. What's the dude that do? What's bald head?
I don't know. He's a bald head. Kelly Pavlik?
He does. They screwed Manny the first time with him.
Oh, the black dude. The black dude who beat Manny.
I'm having a moment.
He's commentating
he
now.
He's commentating now. God, what is
good
his
Lord.
Freaking name?
He ugly. Got that big ass head. I know you're talking about. The world knows who he's talking about. Yeah, he does. We're not talking about Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, but anyway, he tried to build him up too. He tried to build his name too, build him too as well. So I'm just saying, like, that's what Bob Arum does. He just tries to find a new cash cow.
Well, what we're going to find out is on Monday, several things when we come back on Monday, y'all. Did Bud Crawford win? Did you watch the fight? Did LeBron James get swept? Do we have a game on Monday? Will we talk about where LeBron be going to L.A., Philadelphia, or Houston? All this and dim sum. CM Punk wins his case against the WWE. CM Punk fights on Saturday. Will he win or will he lose? Will we make fun of him? Or will he be sold out? Listen, guys, the last time UFC was in Chicago, they did not sell out. The last two times, they're sold out. And from what I hear, it's all because of CM Punk. Let's find out what happens on Saturday. Listen, guys, we're out of here. We thank you. We're back. And damn it, I promise you, we're better than ever. We'll see you on Monday, y'all. Same sports channel. Same. Well, is it really? Not really. Listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me. And don't love God. We out of here, y'all. Fingers.
Love Club Radio. Your boy Mike Knox. The game version one. The best game show on radio.
Your time is up. His time is now. You can't see him. His time is now. Your boy Mike Knox. Yeah, he's shining now. The game be one. Yeah, his time is now.